Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you so much for dying on the cross for us, Lord, and helping us to die to the cross too, Lord. We thank you, Father, for bringing us into that realm of worship and praise and prayer life with you, Lord, and into your perfect presence, Father, and allowing you to lead our every step, Lord. I just thank you for that, and speaking to us and showing us these things that we need to know, Lord, and warning us about the times ahead, and giving us the opportunity to fast and pray and to break out in spiritual warfare because of the things that you've warned us about, Lord, because I know when we do that, Lord, that we are the victors. You are the victor, Lord. And we have victory in you, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you that tonight's going to be a special time with you, Lord, for all of us. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of our lives, Lord, bringing us along in that special way and doing the mighty works in our lives, in our spiritual lives, Lord, and helping us to see the flesh and to get rid of all that flesh in that world that has hindered us all these many years, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're showing us how to relinquish our right to anything, and that we just submit and surrender completely to the Holy Spirit. And we praise you, Father, for your work that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Praise God. Oh, wow, that thing keeps coming up. Oh, I see he went out. Okay, anybody got any prayer requests? Or would like to pray about something or someone? Has anybody got anything they'd like to pray about?
Yeah, Michael, this is Sue. I would.
Okay.
I talked to my sister in Dayton. She's in Dayton, Ohio, and she... Oh gosh, she's got a bed bug situation there in her house, and I guess her husband brought him in. He had went to go and see his parents, and they had them, and he brought them home. And anyway, I guess he found them. Found her a few days ago, and she's just, oh my gosh. Anyway, she was just really distraught, I would just, I prayed for her, and, I just commanded those bed bugs to die in the name of Jesus Christ, and I just asked that all of you agree with me, please, in prayer, that those bed bugs are dead on a doornail. I just thank you for doing that, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that these bed bugs are dead, and that there's no more problems with them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We believe with you. Them bugs got to go.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Brother Michael?
Yes.
Angie.
Angie, okay. Well, the little thing that shows who's speaking was in the wrong place.
Okay. Alrighty.
Okay, go ahead.
We just got a phone call from Michael's daughter, Catherine, and she had hurt her wrist. She had broke her wrist not too long ago, and it never really healed up because she just, kept working it and just doing different things. And anyway, she recently got a job that's very demanding. She's at a lumber mill, and she's doing something called green chain, which basically means she's unloading boards off of a chain, and she's stacking them, and for many hours in the course of the day. And so her wrist is hurting. So the prayer request is really twofold. One is for her complete healing, of course, for her wrist, and she's also having some back problems. And then the other part of the prayer request would be another job, really, a job that would be a blessing to her and not so hard on her. But that's the request. And I can go ahead and lead out in praying for her. And if anybody else is moved to pray for her, please do. So, Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we do lift up Catherine to you right now. And, Lord God, we just thank you for her precious life. And we thank you, Lord God, that she is tender to you and has recently turned her heart to you, Lord God. And we just praise you for that, Lord God. Thank you that you have drawn her to yourself, Lord. And in Jesus Christ's name, we speak healing right now to that wrist. We speak complete healing from all injury and from all harm and from the brokenness, from the fracture that was there. We speak healing in Jesus Christ's name, full restoration, total recovery, all pain to be gone. We rebuke all the pain off of her in Jesus Christ's name and the pain that's in her back, and we speak strengthening to her back. And Lord, we just ask that you would help her to endure for however long she needs to endure this job, Lord God. And in Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we do ask for an opening, another opening, Lord God, for other work for her, Lord, that would be a greater blessing for her, Lord, in every way. And a job, Lord, where she can use her giftings and talents and skills, and where she can, Lord, be where she could just prosper, Lord, and where she can bless others, Lord, with what she has to bring. And so, Lord, we're just asking for your supernatural divine intervention on her behalf, for your favor, for your open doors, and for your healing virtue, with thanksgiving and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Catherine's complete healing in her back, her wrist, and anywhere else, Lord, that may be giving her problems. We thank you for it, Lord. She is healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for opening up those doors for her, too. We're just believing with Michael and Angie that Catherine is going to have a new job shortly, and it's going to be a blessing to her and the people around her. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Mike, I'd like to pray for my brother. He's my older brother. And I think some of us probably all have family members we have to pray for. My brother has always been kind of, since he's the oldest brother, he's always kind of stood off from the rest of the family a little bit, just because he's the oldest. But he's also grew up with my father for a short time that was real demanding and hard on him. So he didn't make life easy for my older brother, Mark, and it shows up in his life because he's not real friendly. You know, he can be friendly and very smart, but he's not, he'll put that fence up, you know, and once he gets that fence up, it doesn't come down very easy. He belongs to the ELCA, which is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, him and his wife, and that's a, if you read about them, they're really liberal. I mean, they believe in homosexuals and they have relationships and they have women for pastors. And so I was reading more about them the other day, and they don't really have a lot of respect for the Word of God. So they're in that kind of environment. He owns a bar, so he's in that environment too. So to be around me, it's real difficult for them to be around me because I'm, you know, I love the Lord. I read the Bible. I stand by the Word. And I hear something that's all right, I'll start saying, well, that's not really what it says. But when you start bringing light to somebody that doesn't want to receive it, it doesn't go over well. So, and I wasn't trying to, you know, go over top of them, but you know, when you start sharing it, it's just sometimes, especially the families, they won't receive it. So my brother's kind of put me off in the distance, and he won't really have much to do with me. So what I want to do is just lift him up in prayer, have the Lord soften his heart, have him draw him closer, have him seek for truth, bind these demons up that have been holding him down all his life that I know I've had that he hasn't overcome yet. So, Father, I come to you and ask that you give grace to my brother Mark and that you allow him to come to you, that you expose yourself and show him who you are, Lord. Show him what you're all about. Show him you're serious about your word and what you say is what you mean. And that you love him, but you also desire truth and your disciples. You desire people to run after what you want, what you set aside in your word. and not just to listen to men. So, Lord, I ask that you grab a hold of Mark the best you can and Barb, his wife. Start getting a hold of them now because times are coming short and we just don't need man's religion anymore. We need to see it all fall apart and see everybody just kind of get shooken up here a little bit and start realizing, hey, there's more to life than what I've been told. There's more to God than what I've been told. So I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for David's brother being healed, granted repentance. And, Father, just drawing to you in a mighty way. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Barry, go ahead.
I was really being corrected by this last broadcast the other night David presented, and about, you know, how we've been so separate for a long time, and we haven't been in any church for several years, and we would like prayer for just God's leading in everything. We really should have been involved in this, and we did start about a year ago, and then for different reasons, my having to get up early and a lot of different things, we just didn't stay with it. And we really want, you know, what God wants, whether it's to be involved in a local fellowship, which we've tried several times, and haven't found anything that's a good, healthy church in this area. But I don't know that, you know, that there's not one still here that got that, just with more prayer and help in prayer, that we might be led to. So we just appreciate everyone's prayers for that, that God will lead us. And if there isn't, just to be clear on it so we can be at peace about that and just enter in, you know, more fully to the conference calls and things, you know, the UBM things. So I must have been disconnected, or I don't hear anything now. So,
Michael, are you muted?
Yeah, I was sitting there talking away, man. I tell you,
it just went dead over here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, just very. I mean, that's the whole idea of this conference call, is a lot of people here have got no local fellowship because they're all apostate, and it's really an avenue to come together and pray for each other and share testimonies, and that's kind of this avenue. So there's no combination, you know, as far as that, but go ahead, Mike.
Okay,
well, that's basically what I was going to say. But let's go ahead and pray, Barry. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift up Barry and his wife to you, Lord. And, Father, if there is anybody in his area there that is a true believer and believes the Word of God, I ask, Lord, that you run Barry and his wife into him and that they get excited over the Word, Father. And I thank you for that. And, Lord, I also ask you that if you can't find anybody, you would place it in his heart to be on the conference call where there is fellowship, there is words from you, Lord, there is praise, and there's testimonies, there's prayer, and all kinds of good stuff, Lord, from you. And we just thank you for that, Father. We know Barry is a good brother, and his wife is a good sister, and we thank you, Father, for placing it in their heart to get back into fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
Oh.
What's that, Barry?
Oh, I was just trying to mute it. That didn't work.
All right. I'll mute you. There you go. Okay, anyone else? Well, I'd like to pray for Jeff and Sandy. They're out in California with her mother. Her dad died last week, and they're having a funeral next week. And I'd like to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up Jeff and Sandy to you, Lord, and I ask that you give them great wisdom and great knowledge, Lord, into what they need to speak about with her mother and her brother and all the people there, Lord, and all her friends and family members out there, Lord. I ask and I pray, Father, that you would place it in Mama May's heart, that's her mother, to come back with her as she wants to. And Father, I ask that you place that will in her, that strong will in her to come back with Sandy. And I thank you for that, Lord. And Eric, too, that would be her nephew, Father. And I thank you that you're going to place it in their hearts to come back. And if Pumi wants to come back, Lord, and you want her here, Lord, I ask that you place it in her heart to come back so she can learn and live that the Word of God out her life, Lord. I thank you for that, Father, that you're going to do a mighty work in Sandy, Jeff, and her mother, and her nephew, and her friend, Father. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Anyone else? I'll tell you what let's do, if y'all don't mind. I'm going to just pray a general prayer for everybody here on the conference call that might be struggling in some areas. And if you can think of someone you want to lift them up, just do that. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask and I pray that those who have been on the conference call before and have, for some, whatever reason, Lord, are falling back away, we ask, Lord, that you put a hunger in them to want to fellowship with like-minded believers. And, Father, we thank you that you're going to do that. Lift them up, Lord. Put the fear of God on them. Put the fear of God on all of us, Lord, because now is the time to have that fear of God so that we could draw nigh unto you, Father. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to do that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to lift up those who might be falling by the wayside, Lord, and bringing them back. Those that are held captive in bondages, Lord, we thank you for freeing them up and loosening them and bringing them back into the fold, Lord. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, I got a prayer. I just want to pray for a brother. And, Father, you just, you know what's going on in his life, Lord. He hasn't, you know, been part of this for a while. And I've tried to get in touch with him and have not heard anything from him, Lord. And, Father, I just, you know what's going on, Lord. I just pray for that, you just give him wisdom, you give him direction, Lord. You just give him grace, Lord. And, Lord, I, you know, if he's backslidden or any issues, Lord, Father, just turn him around and just grant him repentance and a sound mind. And if he's believing a lie or you know, just has any spirit got him bound up, we just ask you, Lord, just loose him and set him free, Lord. And we just thank you for just doing a work in him. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the victory, Lord. Hey, glory be to God. All right, anyone else? I want to read you a little bit of something, just a paragraph here of somebody got something ringing there. Anyway, Michael? Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
I'd like to pray for...
That's Chad.
Yeah, it's all right. I'd like to pray for Brother Philip over there, Lord. Just
okay, go ahead.
Lord, I thank you for Brother Philip, Lord, and the good work you've been doing in him, Lord. I thank you for giving him the grace to endure, Lord, through all the trials you brought him through. And I just pray you'd strengthen him in the midst of all he's going through now, Lord. Give him wisdom for every battle and grace to continue growing, Lord, in the realm of being a priest over his own soul and his own household, Father. Pray you'd keep a hedge of protection about his family, Lord, and work all your will in and through my brother, Father. Just bind up any and all spirits of confusion coming against him, any and all spirits of discouragement and despondency, and I break your power against him and his family. I command you to go from them in Jesus' name. And Lord, just be the lifter of his head today. Uphold him with a willing spirit, Father, and work all your good pleasure in my brother, Lord. And I thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I ditto that in Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? Here's what Andrew. Go ahead.
Michael, it's Joe.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Yes, sir, I can. Go ahead.
I just want to pray, please. My brother Leon is sending me text messages of different ministries about Jensen and Copeland and all this. I just would like to pray the Lord open the door for me to tell him about the real gospel, the real truth, and not just this. I'm sure he's looking for some truth, sending me all those text messages. Father, please, thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you. Come to you and ask for, open the door for me to speak to my brother about the real gospel, the real truth, and not the ministries he's looking for. Just to open the door, please, Lord, to understand, to see him and his wife come to the Lord and looking for truth, looking for real fellowship. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Father.
Amen. And Father, we just ask you to give Joe just wisdom when you open that door as far as to be led of you and to speak what is you know, which is from you, Lord, and not out of his flesh or out of his works, Lord. Just allow him to be in the rest. And Lord, we just thank you for that total victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Unmute your phone, Michael.
Oh, I'm going backwards on this thing, I guess. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, I guess I'd just like to say this is Dave. You know, when I had to go to Thanksgiving dinner in Detroit recently, I prayed in tongues all the way out there because I knew I was going in an environment where it was real religious. And, you know, they are going to play their cards and all that. And I just, you know, prayed for peace and all that stuff and just, you know, hedge of protection and bind these religious spirits. Boy, I tell you, it made a big difference. I went out there and it was just smooth. Everything was nice. Everything was just pleasant. You know, up to the end, but everything was really good. I think, you know, we have to really use that prayer language a lot if we're going to be starting to work with the people around us, especially our relatives. If we can pray half hour, an hour, whatever, before we go and meet them or talk to them, I mean, that can really help make the environment much easier for us. I can see that. That's just a suggestion. That's all.
Amen.
Hold up a damn.
What's that, Tim?
Oh, I'm just didn't have my phone muted. I was just praying in the spirit.
Amen. Here's what Andrew Murray says about the word and prayer. Little of the word with little prayer is death to the spiritual life. Much of the word with little prayer gives a sickly life. Much prayer with little of the word gives more life, but without steadfastness. But a full measure of the word and prayer each day gives a healthy and powerful life. Oh man, that's so true. I'm gonna repeat it again so y'all can get this. Take notes, y'all. Listen to this now. Little of the word with little prayer is death to the spiritual life. Much of the word with little prayer gives a sickly life. And much prayer with little of the word gives more life, but without steadfastness. A full measure of the word and prayer each day gives a healthy and powerful life. How many of you know that's true? That is so true, man. If you're not in the word and you ain't praying, you ain't a Christian. I heard somebody say that one time. Well, that's true. If you think about it, we need to be renewing our mind daily with the word, and we need to be praying to God for everything around us too. And we need to be getting in the presence of the Lord too, and allowing the Lord to speak to us. All three of those things. Of course, praying and getting in the presence of God is basically the same thing. But we also need the word to solidify our Christian life. That's our standard for how we live, is the word of God. But we pray. That's our job there. Spiritual prayer and having faith to believe that our prayers are being answered by the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's interceding on our behalf with the Father to get those prayers answered. He's going to do it. All we have to do is make sure our lives are surrounded by him, and that we have focused on him entirely. You know, I was reflecting this morning about the things that seemingly are important to us that are absolutely not important at all. You know, we think we've got to do this, or we think that we've got to do that, when in fact the only thing that we have to do is to seek God with all our heart and submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to him wholeheartedly and run after him. That's it, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, right now is the time. We're getting more and more words from the Lord that this thing is fixing to happen. This destruction, this devastation, but this grace and this great grace that God's fixing to pour out on the world because of the shaking, it's going to bring a lot of folks in. And we need to know that God's on our side. If you're not in the Word or you're not praying, then, you know, that's something you need to consider. Amen. I thought that was an awesome way of putting it. Little of the word with little prayer is death to the spiritual life. Much of the word with little prayer gives a sickly life. But much prayer with little of the word gives more life, but without steadfastness. But a full measure of the word and a full measure of prayer each day gives a healthy and powerful life. Amen. Okay, anybody else?
Amen. I just wanted to say thank you, brother. That was so inspirational. A very powerful word. Thank you for sharing that.
Amen. I thought so too, Angie. It really awakened me to the fact that, hey, I'm lacking in some areas here.
Me too.
Amen. Okay, has anybody got any praise reports or testimonies?
Hey, Michael, I was just going to share when you shared that. I was really seeing same thing is the enemy just tries to bring so many distractions. You know, when you try to just pray in the spirit, he brings distractions. When you try to get in the word, he brings distractions. And even sometimes when you're just trying to get quiet with the Lord, you know, you're getting bombarded with different thoughts trying to get you distracted, you know, as far as, you know, what happened the day before or, you know, whatever it is. And I'm just really seeing where it's really critical to, you know, I've just been trying to get up and get quiet and just make sure, because, you know, there's no heaviness on you, there's no sin in you, there's no anything like that. We can get with the Lord and you know, you got no judgment or critical thoughts or anything like that. And lately, I've just been in the New Testament, but actually I've been in Matthew for probably, I'm saying a good 2-3 weeks, and I start off and I'm just asking the Lord, you know, what he wants to show me. And I'm just reading it and asking what to show me, and it's just like I'm spending a couple hours a day, and I haven't got out of Matthew yet because he takes me in all different directions. And it's kind of neat because I've read Matthew so many times, but I'm just seeing things I've never seen before because I'm asking the Lord to show me, and I'm getting like a deeper depth in some areas. So I've just been kind of reading, and if I see something, I might open up my e-sword and look up a couple of words, I'm just asking him to really give me an understanding before I move on. So I'm not just reading it to read it. I'm just like, Lord, what do you want to show me? And it's been pretty awesome. So I just wanted to share that, maybe encourage some others.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for them daily manna that you give us, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Got a testimony about your Bible reading, your Bible studying, what the Lord's showing you? I know the Lord's showing everybody in here something, and I'd like to hear about it because every time that you do that, it puts another piece to the puzzle together, another little piece to the puzzle together.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
What you were talking, well, I guess, and Tim was talking too about being distracted, and I would have to say, that's the very same thing that I was having trouble with. It was like trying to hear the voice of the Lord, and there was just so much racket in my head. And it was like, as hard as I tried, I couldn't hear his voice. And it was really getting to be disturbing. And, the one day I got a really good good word, but then the next day when I couldn't hear anything, it was from James 4, verse 4, and the word was, adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore intends to be the world's friend maketh himself God's enemy. And I was trying to get all this stuff out of my head, and it was just confusion in there. The day before, the word I got was from Romans 16, for your obedience is come unto all. I rejoice therefore over you, but I would have you wise unto what is good and harmless unto what is evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And that is a verse that just brings peace to your heart. But, oh my goodness, when you can't find that peace, and it just seems like the world would just push you and push you and push you so that you cannot reach that peace. But you really have to cast all that, the racket out of your head, the distractions, they just are everywhere. And I just thank him that he has brought a peace to my heart. But you really have to seek it. You can't just sit there and think it's just going to come, because it will not unless you get in the Word. And I just thank him for his word, because it is his word that sustains us. And I guess that was really just what I wanted to share. But when I heard you mentioning that, there were others who were having trouble with distractions and wanting to hear his voice and, all this stuff running around in the head. And I guess that's all. Thank you.
Well, Gano, as you probably already know, some days, man, you can just step right in. And then other days, it takes, it takes a while.
That's really true.
Amen. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, a praise report, a revelation from God? What's God telling you? He's telling me to repent. Go ahead, Barry. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Yeah. Was there somebody else, Michael? I'll back off.
Chad, did you have something
you'd like to share? Let Chad go for it.
Sure. I just wanted to verify what David was sharing about speaking in tongues. The Lord reminded me of an incident that happened maybe a month and a half ago or so. My wife's mom was staying with us here for a while, and we've been listening to some good Bible studies, you know, from UVM here, and just having a really good time in the Word. The Lord was giving us a lot of Word and putting a lot of Word in her. Well, she got attacked one night. She asked me if I'd come in and pray for her because she was really dizzy and feeling just really sick and weak and other symptoms that I don't remember what they were now. And I remember at the time I was just, I think I was going through some pretty intense warfare myself, and I'd just been praying in the Spirit. And so I said, well, yeah, sure, of course I'll pray for you. And so she went in and laid down, and I didn't know anything else to do except pray in the Spirit, you know, pray in tongues. And so that's what I did. And I did that in there for maybe about half an hour to 45 minutes until whatever was coming against her had lightened up. I just knew it was demonic. I knew it was an attack. And so after I felt something break in the Spirit, she said that she had felt a lot better and like she could go to sleep. Well, she was able to fall asleep, and she slept the whole night through, and that was the only time she ever did that here, because she usually had to get up, you know, several times in the night, sometimes 5, 6, 7 times a night to use the bathroom. And she's just slept sound for hours that whole night, woke up the next day, felt great, and it just, whatever was, you know, coming against her totally broke. And today after I got up, I felt an incredible heaviness on me. Something was, I just felt an intense pressure, spiritual pressure coming against me, I'll put it that way. And so I came out and I sat down and, you know, to seek the Lord, and this thing was just so intense. It was, I'll just say I wasn't exactly feeling perfect peace at the time. So I just started praying in the Spirit. And it felt so heavy, it was hard just to lift my head off the, you know, off the chair rest. And I just laid and I prayed in the Spirit for probably about 45 minutes or so. And then I felt it lift. And the Lord gave me a word, you know, right out of the Word, and started speaking to me. And then he put it on my heart to call my dad, who lives several states away from us here. And the Lord's been working a lot there. There's a lot of shaking going on right now in my family. And at the same time, I see the Lord working things together for good. And he's been doing a lot of healing in our relationship. And so the Lord impressed me to call him. I called him for an hour, and we had just a great talk. We had a really good talk. And, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please let me honor my dad. And I was able to speak some things that really encouraged him. He had a powerful salvation experience when he was 15. He's 86 now. And just, you know, needs some deliverance. And I'm praying for the, believing for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for him. And for my mom. Him and my mom are separated right now. And I know I've shared that on here before. But the Lord is just doing so much good right now in the midst of it all. So anyway, for me to be able to talk with him for an hour like that and have a really good time, I felt the presence of the Lord. I felt a lot of love for him. Was really a miracle. So that is why I just say that, you know, I found many times that when I really just, nothing else was coming to me about what to do when I was going through intense spiritual warfare, I just start praying in tongues. I pray in the Spirit, and I just keep going until it, so I felt something, either felt something break or felt shift or whatever. And I'm just so thankful for that gift. It's a very, very powerful gift, and the Lord's been helping me to make it a practice to just do that, make it a practice to do that throughout the day more and more. You know, bring it to my attention. Hey, I can, you know, I'm washing dishes. I could be praying in tongues. I'm doing something that, or whatever. I could be doing something, and I could be, but yet I could be praying in tongues, something that doesn't really require a lot of focus, which is, you know, just a lot of little tasks that need to be done each day. And so the Lord's been really good to help me with that. I'm pressing in for a really disciplined prayer life. I want that. And, you know, it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't just come. We have to press in for it. There is a, you know, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And the Lord's been teaching me more about that too. So I'm praise the Lord. He's good. So just wanted to verify that, and then praise the Lord for his gift and his grace.
Amen. He can't get enough praise. I'm telling you, he is so good. He's so good to all of us. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You just reminded me of something. I'd like to pray for my brother. Lord, I lift up Marvin Jr. to you, Lord, and I know you're working in his life. He kind of hung up in the old apostate church, Lord, where they don't really put much stock in your word, Lord, and following your word. But, Lord, I know that you can put a hunger in his heart for that word, for your word, Lord. I know that you can grant him repentance and turn him around where he is not looking at the world and flesh, but that he's looking at you, Father. And I just thank you that you're going to do that for him. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a mighty man of God out of him. And I praise you for that, too. Lord, and I lift up David, too, my older brother. Lord, you know that it seems like every time that I talk to him about God, he didn't want to hear about God. He's got his own God, he says. And well, it is. It's his money and his flesh and his world. Father, I know that you can flip a switch and he'll be just as, you put the fear of God all over him and make him a powerful, mighty man of God as well, Lord. And I'm just believing you're going to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in both of my brothers. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Michael. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I want to, you know, there's a brother said years ago, he said, a message prepared in a mind will reach a mind. A message prepared in a life will reach a life. And there have been some deep dealings going on in my own heart right now, and I don't exactly know what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say what I need to say, but I really believe that what the Lord's put in my heart tonight is central, a very important perspective, and I'm sure there's 100 brothers sharing the same thing in many different ways. And one brother said years ago, he said, God builds a message in a man's life, and it's really the same message. And no matter what text he uses, he's preaching the same message because we're sharing of what we are, not just what we say or what we have in our head. I kept thinking about that. We're all familiar with the bumper sticker that we've all heard that says, "What would Jesus do?" And you heard me mock that a little bit in the sense that, just go do what he would do. But I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart today, and what it came to me was that that's the wrong question. It's not what would Jesus do. It's what is Jesus like? What is Jesus like? And we've got the testimony in the scriptures that the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." That's amazing. This is the Son of God, the one that spoke and the universe exists, made manifest in the flesh, submitted himself to the same kind of potential that we have to live by the Holy Spirit instead of by his own divine strength, which he had in with the Father before the world began. But to live as with the same potential that we have, and he says, meek and lowly of heart. I think that's an amazing thing, and you will find rest for your soul. When I look at the scripture in Jeremiah 17, it said the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said deceitful above all things. The heart of a man, the potential and the capacity of the human heart is deceitful above all things. But when I started thinking about this, what is Jesus like? Not what would Jesus do? We've seen many men of God who have, in the early days, and I'm going to say, probably in the early 1900s especially, there was quite a revival of the supernatural after Azusa Street and the Pentecostal visitation in Wales. And there were a lot of people that were willing to pay the price for the power, and they got it. There were people that they were going to have the biggest tent that was ever made. They were going to outdo the next guy, and they had the goods. Man, the sick were being healed and this and that. But you know what? there was a problem. The works of God were manifest, but the character of Christ was not, and with many, many of those brothers, they didn't finish well. And, you know, when Jesus spoke and he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, excuse me, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will come unto me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did not I cast out devils in your name, prophesied in your name, did many wonderful works in your name? And the Lord says, then I'll profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And there is such confusion in especially in this nation where there's such an entrepreneuring, you know, people building ministries and websites and churches, and there, you know, it's just a menagerie of mixture that's going on in the name of the Lord. And in the midst of it all, people can lose perspective of what it's really all about. I see that happening so much. You know, people are out doing great things, and things are happening, and, you know, I led 600 people to the Lord, you know, all of the stuff that goes on in the name of the Lord. And you know, Paul said, you know, some men preach Christ out of contention, some of envy, some of goodwill, you know. And, you know, he said, but Christ is preached there, and I do rejoice. And I question at times whether it's actually in this hour, it's Christ that's being preached. There's so many other things that are being preached. But I believe with all my heart that God is wants to bring us back to what it's really all about. And it's not what Jesus would do or what you would do. It's who you really are, who Jesus really is, and who you really are. And I believe with all of my heart that when we talk about the character of Christ, it's far more significant than the power of God. And I say it this way, because the power of God without the character will destroy you and everything it touches. The first and most important thing is the tree brings forth fruit. When he said, every branch that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. And I think of this, the fruit, and I believe that this is the most important fruit that you can get is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When he says, now the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. This is who Jesus is. This is the character of Jesus Christ. This is the most critical thing, because without the character of Christ, you cannot bear the power of God or any other part of the ministry of God and survive it, and those that you minister to really be ministered to in something deeper than externals. Because people could look at the works of God. They saw the Lord Jesus do many works, and then went right back to it. They walked away, and they would see the works of God. It didn't change them. But show us a sign. The Lord said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign. You know, it's not in the signs. It's when the nature of Christ, when the Lord Jesus, well, Paul the Apostle in the book of Galatians says, and faith that works by love. When there's people that are doing the works of God to build themselves a kingdom, there's some of them that want money. There's some of them that are doing it so they can outdo the next guy. And there's some that do it out of love. I want to bring to your remembrance the most famous scripture that we all know, I suppose. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He says, though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have no charity, he says, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. You know, we've all talked about this, and we all know, But when we talk about the self-life and we talk about the dying to self, you know, the subtleties of the human heart are made manifest. And I'm speaking from my own experience. I'm speaking from the dealings that are going on in my own heart. You know, to where we come to a place. One of the things that stood out to me, a reading in the book of Acts 20, when Paul gathered together the Ephesian elders, he was getting ready. He says, "You're going to see my face no more." And he said to the people, after he gets done with part of his exhortation, he says, "Take heed to yourselves and to the flock of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God that he has purchased with his own blood. For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock." And he says, "And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples unto themselves." Now, this is the elders that Paul had, hand-chosen elders. These are people, they labored. 2 years he spent working with these brothers, and he says, "Hey, brothers, of your own selves, men are going to rise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples unto themselves." That thing is strong in human nature. That thing of wanting to be somebody, that thing of wanting a following, to be known, to be heard. But Paul, he says, "You see how I've been amongst you?" He said, "I coveted no man's gold, silver, or apparel. You know that with my own hands I've labored to provide for my needs and them that are with you. And I've showed you that how so working you ought to support the weak." And the last words that Paul said to these people before he walked away is, "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." That's the last thing that Paul left these people with. They're weeping over his neck. And he's saying, "Brethren, these are guys that he's labored." He says, "Night and day for 2 years I've been amongst you." And he says, "And of your own selves are men are going to arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples unto yourself." That thing's very strong in humanity. Look at Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was, "You're going to be like God, knowing good and evil." Being this thing of being somebody, being, you know, that the pride of the heart of a man is a subtle thing. And I tell you, it's very subtle, and it's deeply entrenched because our whole society is built on it. I mean, the football games, everything in this world is to be somebody, to be known, to make a name for yourself. You know, and these guys, they do all kinds of things to be known and to be heard. And they do it in the church, too. The church has been so overrun with that spirit of humanism, men seeking their own glory in the midst. And I tell you what, that thing's got to die within us. We've got to come to a place. The Lord Jesus at the Last Supper, we're all well acquainted with the Lord Jesus at the Last Supper. And he just gets done telling the people that one of you is going to betray me. This is in Luke. He says, "One of you is going to betray me." And they're going, "Is it I? Is it I?" And then there arose a strife among them as to who should be the greatest. What timing. I mean, isn't it amazing? The Lord is pouring out the deep places of his heart. And he turned and said, "The Gentiles of this world exercise dominion." And he says, "But with you it shall not be so. But the greatest among you shall be the servant of all." That he laid this, he took a towel and he girded himself and he said, "If I, your Lord Master, have done this," and he took a towel and washed the disciples' feet, and "if I have done this, so you ought to do this one for another." Brethren, that theme has got to run through everything that we do if it's going to have any eternal consequences. Paul just got done saying, if you got the faith to move mountains, if you understand every mystery that ever was and have all knowledge, and this is a pretty heavy-duty dude, and gives his body to be burned, he's a martyr, he also gives all of his goods to feed the poor. And the Lord says, it's nothing. It profits nothing if it doesn't come out of compassion, out of love. And the thing we need to be willing, when we talk about the cross of Jesus Christ, it's got to come down right where we live in the real world. The desire to be somebody. Do you know what gossip really is? And I've been dealt with this. That's why I say this. And what slander really is. You know, where we get to feeling First of all, men that have encountered God, we all know the men that have encountered God. When Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Anyway, it painted this picture of what was going on in heaven. And he says, and then I said, woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I've seen the Lord. When Job saw the Lord, he said, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee, therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And John the Beloved, I won't go into the whole story, but when he saw Jesus in a resurrected state, as a man that had leaned on Jesus' breast, he fell at his feet like a dead man. And this is the encounter that men have with God when God comes on the scene. And the men that have encountered the Lord in the scripture, Daniel, a man whom the angel Gabriel says, oh man, greatly beloved of God. A man is powerfully in favor with God. When he had a glimpse of the Lord, he says, and when I saw him, all of my comeliness turned into corruption before me. I retained no strength, laid with myself to ground. The definition of humility is a revelation of God. That is where true humility is born. You can talk about doing all the right things, but to get humility in a person's spirit, is going to be an encounter with Jesus Christ. A revelation of the living God will bring humility, true humility like it is. Because when you're comparing, but see where we get off, and this is very easy to do because it's so in our nature, we don't realize sometimes how quickly we revert back and forth into the old man, into the new man, in the way we look at people sometimes. Because it's easy. If you look at the weasel next door, you can feel pretty good about yourself. Or, you know, this guy over here that does this or whatever, we can build up a pretty good picture of ourselves, and we've got a little file that goes on in our subconscious, and we rate ourselves by those around us. We look at those that this brother here, he doesn't do this, or he doesn't know the word, or he doesn't pray. People start comparing themselves with one another, and they start feeling pretty good about themselves. But when pride enters in, it's a thermometer. It's an absolute thermometer that you're far from God. Because when you're in the presence of God, humility is the absolute byproduct of encountering the glory and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Flesh cannot glory in his presence. There's never been a man that gloried in the presence of God. There's those that got in the presence of God in uncleanness and were smitten dead. And there's those that were, the earth opened up and swallowed them because they offered strange fire before the Lord. But brother, nobody's ever been arrogant in the presence of God, and nobody ever will. In heaven, there are men that everybody fears God, heaven and in earth. Don't think that goes away. Read Revelation 19. In heaven, they fear God. And brothers and sisters, it's right that we should fear the one that spoke and the universe exists, and he created us out of the dust and spoke into us and breathed in us the breath of life and made us a living soul. This is the God whom we deal with. But when we look at ourselves and start comparing ourselves one with another, it says they that do this are not wise. Because we really don't realize that when you're dealing, compared to the majesty and the splendor of the Almighty God who humbles himself to look on the heavens and the earth and counts all nations as but the dust of the balance, insignificant to the weight one way or another. Compared to him, we are all just so many shades of blackness. It's just like ebony and charcoal arguing over who's the greatest. They're all black. Jesus himself made it really clear when the rich young ruler said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, and why do you call me good? There's none good but God alone. And then he turns in his disciples and he says, if you all being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that love him? He didn't say, some of you guys are evil. And then he turns and says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, come, let me pull the mote from thy eye, and behold, the beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to pull the mote out of your brother's eye. He didn't say, some of you got a little problem. He said, you got it. You got it, Jack. That's why he says in James, don't be many masters, knowing you receive the greater judgment, for in many things we do all offend. He didn't say some of you, he said all. When we're talking about majesty, I mean, we really, when Paul talked about the day when we all appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. This is, I think, 2 Corinthians 5, 9 or 10. He says, well, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, that every one of us may receive of the things done in our body, whether good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. Paul the Apostle, the saint, the mighty man of valor that wrote most of the New Testament, he says, they looked at the day of the Lord as a terrible day, the day of Christ, when he must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when the secrets of men's hearts are revealed. The whole issue, brothers and sisters, is not even what we do. It's why do we do what we do? Who are we? What is our motives? What is our intent? You look at the scripture, what he says in there, that he says, all things are naked, and they open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There are people that are going to do the exact same works, and one of them is absolutely unacceptable, and one of them is acceptable. It has to do with what's really behind it. What's the motivation? Who are we, and what is it coming from? The work that God wants to work in us is not what would Jesus do, but what is Jesus like? What is his nature? What is the fruit? That is the highest. That's what a mature saint is, not what he does. He will do, without a doubt, and he will do it mightily. But, brethren, it can only be born and effected with eternal consequence if the nature of Christ is what's represented by the works of God that are being manifest. It's got to be that way. You come down to the simple things, like he says, let another praise you, but never your own mouth. Find a man wise in his own conceit, there's more hope for a fool than for that man. Every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. How easy it is for us to try to draw attention to ourselves. I find myself have to kick my hindquarters daily. How many times do we, without even knowing it, we try to draw attention to ourselves or put in a good word for ourselves? When are we going to come to the place where we're truly seeking the honor of God only, not our own honor, that we want to seek God glorified and we want to be hidden? Because the more you're hidden, the more Christ will be revealed. It's when death works in us that life works in others. It's not when life works in us. If we're taking life unto ourselves, we're destroying everything we touch. We've got to come to a place where what's in us is the deepest desire. This is the right way. What would Jesus do in this situation? And people can move like that. But he wants to go deeper than that. He wants to change our very nature. Where what's in our heart is to seek the low road. Remember that thing I've mentioned before, but water always takes the lowest road. If you find water running down a mountain, find the deepest little ravine, the bottom of the canyon, the very deepest hole, there is where the water is. And the water of life flows in the same places, brothers and sisters. In the midst of the body, it flows in the lowest places. The water of life flows where there's humility and where there's brokenness. And remember, humility is a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That's what true humility is. And when we come to a place, brothers and sisters, when what you've done to the least of the brothers, you've done to me. Interesting, he says the least of the brothers. Maybe it's the guy that's got a lot of struggles, you know. I think sometimes I've heard people say that when angels appear to them, they appeared as a beggar or as something that would be easy to just pass by and go, hey, but I ain't got a nickel for you. Take a walk, you know. But to be in a place where we truly, not we do what Jesus do, we are what Jesus is. Or better yet, Christ is in us because we've yielded to the process of the cross so that Christ's life can be manifest in the resurrection life because of the death of yours truly. That's what he wants. But it's not the imitation of divine life. And that is much of what goes on in Christendom today. It's the manifestation of divine life as the process of the cross is worked in us so Christ can live his life through these vessels. But it needs to come to a place where it's natural for us to want to seek the needs of others more than ourselves. That want to, that just, you know, support the weak. You know, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. The greatest among you is the servant of all. Yeah, he says, and as he said in that scripture, and what you've done to the least of the brothers, you've done to me. How would you feel if God judges according to how you've dealt with the least brother, the least sister? Somebody who's maybe, you know, a little awkward at times. Maybe he's not smooth and polished like some people, but the least. And in our midst, brothers and sisters, the things that are going to count for eternity, I just know this with my spirit, the things that are going to count for eternity is when we finally begin to move in the nature and the heart of Christ toward one another. When we minister Christ, you know how awkward it is when you're going to go out and lay the gospel on somebody. It's almost like rape sometimes with the way people present the gospel to people. It's not out of compassion. They're trying to force feed them. They're going to, whether they want it or not, they're going to hear it. But if they hear it because the compassion of Christ is moving their soul, that is so well received, so easily received. That word can be received with joy and it'll bring forth fruit. And I believe that God wants to take our nature so that the things we do, the things we say, the things we are all the same thing. That it's faith that works by love, that we're seeking that. You know, I'm going to say this scripture again. I'm sorry. Deal with it. It's the way it is. This is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible, and it's always going to be my favorite scripture. I've determined this is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. It's in Philippians. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort and love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. That you be like-minded one toward another, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but with lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of another. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in likeness as a man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Brethren, that's how Jesus is. That's not what Jesus did. What he did came out of what Jesus was. Jesus was. He represented the nature of God. And God doesn't want us just to do the works of God. He wants us to represent the nature of Christ. And those things have got to become where it is Christ in us that moves with that compassion. The knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God, the power of God, all of these things are because Christ is fully resurrected in our lives, because we've gone to the process as that corn of wheat planted in the ground and die. And from it comes forth much fruit. Brothers and sisters, it's not what Jesus would do. It's what is Jesus like.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That word humility. Oh, my. Humility. You know what the opposite of humility is? It's pride. And that's the root of every sin and evil, the opposite of humility. When you lose humility, you're back in sin. Amen. Good word, Michael. Thank you so much. Anybody got any words they'd like to share about that? Any comments?
Yeah, hey, Michael, there's a thought that comes to mind. I really appreciate that word, too. Thank you, Father. I heard a brother say that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is lust. And, of course, we know lust is hate, but that thought came to mind. So the opposite of love is lust.
Amen. Amen. Jesus was humble. He was humility personified. Amen. I'm sitting here thinking about humility and what it is. It's a lack of that humility explains every defect and failure in your life. My goodness. It allows you to have the right attitude before God, doesn't it? Just think about humility. That's where Jesus was. We just look at his life. We can understand humility. He went to the cross, humble, debased in his humility. Amen. All right, anybody else want to have a comment or testify or have a revelation?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, go ahead.
Michael Montana, I mean, I'm kind of numb here, but it's a good numb. And, you know, he mentioned as far as, you know, the intentions of your heart, what is your motive? And we really have to look at that in every aspect of our life, in the words that come out of our mouth, what is our motive? In our actions, what is our motive? You know, just in everything that we do, everything we say, the thoughts, you know, just what is the motive behind it? And I think if we really look into the motive, you know, of a lot of things we think about and we act and we do and our works and that, and we'll see if there's a root of pride there, if we're trying to lift ourselves up, if we're trying to be somebody, if we're trying to get a name for ourselves, if we're trying to be recognized, you know, what is your motive? How you dress, how you speak, how you act. I mean, that's just, you know, if you really start thinking about that, there's a depth there. And I think you'll expose the enemy in a lot of areas. You'll expose the pride. You'll expose the insecurities. You'll expose the fears, you know, that is behind your motive. And you know, really, you know, the thought of what was Jesus like? And we read the word and we see that and, you know, we talk about the love. But, you know, like Chad was saying, the opposite, you know, is lust. You know, most of the love is that we think is love is just lust. And, you know, but true, unconditional love that we do something not to get something in return, not to get somebody to notice us, not to get somebody to like us, anything like that. We do it out of the love in our heart. And it doesn't matter who we do. There's no respecter of man. You know, if it's a homeless person on the street or if it's somebody in the fellowship or somebody at work that is persecuting you, you know, you've got to walk in that heart of love. And you know, it's just that's who Jesus is. And that's what he's like. And that's what he wants us to manifest. And you know, coming into his nature and you know, just walking in that, but that total meekness and lowliness of heart. And that's very difficult because a lot of us, you know, there's those insecurities and things in us where we want to be appreciated and we want to be, you know, noticed or whatever it is, but it's just, you know, that's the giving up your life and taking on his life, because it really doesn't matter, you know, who you are. It's really manifesting him through you, and it's really what is your motives in what you do. So that word really blessed me, and I you know, thank you, Michael, for bringing it forth, man. Amen.
Amen. Good word. It's that desire to be nothing that allows God to be all in all in each one of us. Amen. That humility hasn't been preached enough in the churches today. Go ahead. Somebody was trying to say something.
Yeah, this morning as I was reading through Proverbs 8, I found myself just journaling verses out of it, but this is the one that really stands out right now and is also very much convicting my own heart. And it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And, you know, I was looking at that and I see, like, to me, you know, I see all of that list as being evil. Perhaps the Lord meant it that way or not, but anyways, as I was reading that, to me, it signals all of that's evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth. And then I was considering, well, what's the opposite of that? What is God requiring of me, you know? So instead, you know, what was coming to me is, okay, humility for pride, as we just spoke, and then meekness for arrogancy, you know, the righteous way instead of the evil way, and the godly mouth instead of the froward mouth. And, you know, how often I pray that, you know, that my heart and my mouth would line up, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, you know, one of my prayers is to speak as the oracles of God. And if there's something, you know, that's coming out of me that's not for edification to the hearer, I probably shouldn't be speaking it. And so that's my prayer, you know, that I would walk in humility and meekness in the righteous way, and to have a godly mouth at all times and not to slip up that way. Because, you know, I think of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, I don't want to be eating death, right? You know, with all my heart, I don't want to be eating death. I don't want to be speaking death and eating death. And so, anyways, I'm convicted with what my husband just shared, and I also see how, you know, the Lord was speaking to me about that very thing this morning as well. So, anyway, God bless you all.
Well, that's what he's been dealing with me with for about the last 2 or 3 days. And, you know, when you think that you might have a handle on it, your mouth opens up and out comes some stupid stuff that you regret and you have to repent over, just like I did this morning. I'm laughing, but it's not a laughing matter, actually. I found out how arrogant I really was after it was all over. I sat and contemplated. I said, what are you doing, you know? And all it was arrogancy on my part, thinking that, you know, I could say what I said and be justified in doing it. But, humility has to be the major part of our life, because Christ was. Christ was... We need to study the character of Christ until we're just filled with his love and admiration for his humility that he expanded and he showed us with his life. And when we do that, and when we strive, it's something that's not going to happen overnight, by the way, this humility thing. It's something that goes with prayer and diligence and studying the Word and studying God's life, Jesus' life, and then coming up. It's a gradual thing. It's something that God works in you, but it's something that's necessary in order to be in the will of God all the time. Amen.
Michael, may I make one more comment?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say this. I thought of the scripture in Proverbs that we're all familiar with. But it starts off and it says, these six things does God hate. Yea, seven are an abomination in his sight. And then it says, first thing is a proud look. Number one. Proud look is number one that God hates. And if somebody's got their phone unmuted, mute it. But anyway, but a proud look is number one. And then you look at the scriptures when he talks about the day of the Lord. The one thing, all of the things that happen when he says the day of the Lord, you read in Isaiah 2, is against everyone that is proud and lofty and against everyone that is lifted up. The day when God comes, he says he's going to cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And all the scriptures, you know, when he says about the day of the Lord is against the proud and the lofty, and just to remember that pride is always a byproduct of being far away from God, and humility is a revelation of Jesus Christ, instantly the byproduct of humility.
Amen. That was me. I forgot to mute. Okay. Praise God. Yes, that's right. I believe you, I don't know if you quoted this or not, Michael, but I'm going to quote it again if you did. That's Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 9. He says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death. Are we obedient even unto death? Yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him and gave unto him the name which is above every name. Amen. That's the way we ought to be. We need to be the lowest. You know what? I think Wikipedia says that humility, I believe it's Wikipedia, a modest or low view of one's own importance. You think you're important? Mm-mm. Not in this life. Not in the Christian life. We need to be low. Go ahead, Michael.
One of the things that's the biggest a test of where a person's heart is at is let someone say something about them that, and whether they have, you know, when we defend ourselves, we're wrong, even when we're right. It doesn't matter, you know, the whole key of Christ's nature, he sets it up in 2 Peter 2, or 1 Peter 2, when he says, now if you be buffeted for your faults, and you shall take it patiently, what glory is that? But if you'll do well and suffer for it, and take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but rather committed himself to him that judges righteously. And the whole thing of being able to just die quietly and who let your reputation go to the dirt, it's irrelevant, because the image that you care about is God's reputation, not yours.
Amen. Boy, we may have to put this whole program on. Praise God. The only hope of decreasing self is an increasing Christ, F.B. Meyer. That's humility. Praise God. All right, anybody else want to add? Come on now, let's talk about this. Where are we here?
Hello?
Yeah.
This is Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew.
I'd just like to say, because today is the eighth day of the month, I usually try to read a proverb a day, and that's the very same verse that chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. You know, you read all of these proverbs, you know, the first few are there's always telling you, my son, if thou be surety for a friend, thou hast stricken thine hands with a stranger, thou art snared with thy words, and of thy mouth thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You know, there's a stranger that's truly strange there, and it keeps talking about my son to beginning of each one of these Proverbs. So, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, oh, my son, forget not the law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. The heart in the right place. You know, and seems like every single one of these Proverbs from the first nine anyway, it's, you know, or seven, you know, it's talking about my son, my son, my son. And you're always getting the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, because his words are spirit and life to us. And, you know, when does the word become spirit and life in you? We all know Colossians 1:27, and Jesus is the word, and he comes along with the package of the corporate body that you are. And that word that you get for love is a wonderful word to have in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. But that love is a package he also comes with Jesus for us. And the love of this word is what he wants for manifestation from you. These words create. They create in you. He called you to be a son. And these words continue to give you the spirit and more life. And that's John 1 again, you know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made that wasn't made by him. In him was life, and this life is the light of man. That light is that lamp that's in your temple, and it's got every one of those little lights on that lamp. There's seven of them. Is that light, which is your life. This word is life to us. Your very existence has to reflect around it. It has to emanate from you, but not only that, but it's your very existence, this word. It's what magnifies God, God's sovereignty functioning through you. He's choreographing you by his word so that you can move through it and do what he says. And just as a person is a young lad and grows up into an older, mature person, that's the way this light is given to us. And we have to come to the point where we understand that this light that God shares with us and gives to us is his very life and his word, because Jesus is the word and he lives in us. Colossians 1:27. It does mention glory there. And it mentions glory about the mirror there, you know, that we're supposed to look in. And we're supposed to see something in there. It reflects the mirror. You need light to see in a mirror, really, but that's not really the light he's talking about. He's talking about that light of that life that he gave you through creation, which he still does today. And he gives you this creation more and more, I think. And as we have this conference call and we're sharpening up each other's iron, sharpening iron, you know, the best sharpener is Jesus Christ himself. He'll always win that sharpening duel. And he'll be ready there to circumcise your heart with the sword of his spirit. Because he's got the sword that always wins. Amen. That's all.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you. You got something to say, Barry?
Oh, I was just thanking God for that.
Yeah. It's a good word.
I didn't know if I thought I was muted, so I was.
No, we
messed up on our phone, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. I just got to remember to mute you. If you want to talk, star. All right. Got that down. Okie doke. All right. Thank you, Andrew. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey, Jack.
I hear an echo.
Yeah, I did too.
I just want to state that what Angie shared and what Andrew just shared, that the Father also had me in Proverbs 8 today. I was listening to a series of teachings from Brother David on oneness. I think it was called Oneness, Trinity, and Truth from 2004. And he was stressing in there a lot about Proverbs 8 and you know, when Angie had shared that, and then Brother Andrew, I was thinking how the Lord is confirming that we are all in the unity of spirit until we come into the unity of faith together, because he seems to be leading a lot of us that share on the conference call in the same areas. And what stuck out to me from Proverbs 8 was how it states in the middle of the verse about, I think it starts, if I may read it, 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before the earth was. Verse 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. And Brother David was just teaching about how people had questions about, I was trying to sharpen my knowledge, so I had asked the brothers for some guidance on how I could learn more about the Trinity doctrine. So when I witness, my family is primarily all Catholic, and be meeting up with a lot of them coming up for this holiday season, like David was sharing about Thanksgiving in Detroit. And I appreciate what he said, because I'm going to take his advice and his exhortation on praying in the Spirit before I meet with them. But I wanted to have like a better foundation of coming against some things that I was raised in, and I was led by a brother to those teachings today, and I don't know if anybody else has heard them, but they're really, really good. And I just praise God that he had me go to Proverbs 8 and read all that and try to absorb it, and appreciate what Angie shared about what the Father had shown her, and also what Brother Andrew just shared. It's been a blessing. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good teaching. If you don't know anything about what the Word says about oneness, Trinity, or something else, that's a good teaching.
Yes, sir. It blessed me a lot. And if anybody is has apostate in their family and they're meeting up with them, I think it would bless them, because I'm actually going to re-listen to all three of them if I can.
Awesome. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, brother.
I've got a few quotes here about humility from some famous people. Martin Luther said, God created the world out of nothing, and as long as we're nothing, he can make something out of us, for he's God. That's right. Thomas A. Kempis said, the more humble a man is in himself, the more obedient toward God. The wiser will he be in all things, and the more shall his soul be at peace. Mm-hmm. It is no great thing to be humble when you are brought low, but to be humble when you are praised is a great and rare achievement. Bernard of Clairvaux. Now here's a good one by Jonathan Edwards. He says, nothing sets a person so much out of the devil's reach as humility. Praise God. That's right. When you're low, the devil can't get down there low enough to get to you. He goes after the prideful people. Thank God. Thomas A. Kempis said again, he said, be not angry that you cannot make others as you wish them to be, since you can't make yourself as you wish yourself to be. True words never spoken. T.S. Eliot said, humility is the most difficult of all virtues to achieve. Nothing dies harder than the desire to think well of oneself. Ooh, boy, nailed that one, didn't he? Augustine said, should you ask me, what is the first thing in religion? I should reply, the first, second, and third thing therein is humility. Amen. F.B. Meyer says, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above another. And the taller we grow, the easier we can reach them. Now, I find that God's gifts are on shelves. And the lower we stoop, the more we get. Amen. Praise God. He who humbles himself will be exalted, Luke 14:11 says. James 4:6-10 says, God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he'll lift you up. My, my, my. Praise God. Humility. That should be the life of the believer. Humbleness and humility. That's what God told us. That's what Jesus showed us, wasn't it? All right, anybody else? Matthew 11:29 said, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Amen. There's a lot in the Word of God on humility. If you look what the life of Jesus himself, the things that he always said, he always wanted you to look at he wanted you to look at the Father. He didn't want you to look at himself. He said, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. John 5:40-41, he said, I don't accept praise from men. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will. John 7:16, my teaching is not my own. John 7:28, I am not here on my own. John 8:28, I do nothing on my own. John 8:42, I have not come on my own, but he sent me. John 8:50, I am not seeking glory for myself. John 14:10, the words I say to you are not just my own. 14:24, these words you hear are not my own. Praise God. You know, those words that the Lord spoke about himself, they reveal what he was wanting us to do, and that was to get our eyes on God the Father. Praise God. Humility. Absolute submission and dependence upon the Father's will, right? Praise God. All right, anybody else got a little word you'd like to talk about as far as humility goes? Or humbleness, meekness? Let me look here just a second. Matthew chapter 5. I'm turning there. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. What is poor in spirit mean? That's absence of pride and self. Absence of pride and self is poor in spirit. That's what God wants us to be. This is his, these are his rules for us. These are his commands for us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's those who mourn over sin, their life and their friend's life, and the people around them's life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's gentleness. Person that is gentle, that is submissive. They're Christ-like. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? If not, then ask the Lord, and he'll give it to you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is merciful? That's keeping your mouth shut when you want to justify yourself. Or when you think you know something and just keeping quiet. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What are your motives when you talk to someone? What are your motives when you speak? What is your thought life? Because God sees our thought lives. And boy, that's a big one with me, you know. The thought that goes through our head at times. God sees it all. He sees everything. So we need to repent of those thoughts and cast down those vain imaginations that comes into our heart, into our thought life. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Are you a peacemaker, or are you a troublemaker? Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. You know, Christ came on, he gave up his life and with the Father to come down here and teach us a few things. He served mankind. He came down here and was a servant for mankind to do one thing, to bring people into the knowledge of God and his ways. And you know, he wants every one of us to be just like him. A disciple is someone who is a servant of God, a servant of man. A Christian is a servant of man. Your brothers and we're servants at to the sacrifice of our own life for others in the way. We sacrifice our own life for our brothers and sisters in the way. We sacrifice our worldly life. We sacrifice our flesh. We sacrifice our everything that we have. And then we just have faith that God's going to, you know, honor all of that. And he will. He said those are the last going to be first. Praise God. Okay, we're kind of winding down here. Does anybody got anything else they'd like to share? It's real neat the way God worked this humility thing out tonight with Michael starting it off. Because that is actually the very same thing that God has been working on me this week, is humility and showing me some things. And, like, you know, and that's the things that I'm, little bit that I've shared tonight is some stuff that he's shown me throughout the last few days. And it's really awesome the way God does that.
Yeah, Michael, just to add to that, I mean, the Lord's working on me the same way. And it's really in humility and in patience. And I've just been, you know, sometimes we get our eyes on ourselves or our situation or whatever it is. And, you know, just, you know, am I hearing from the Lord? Am I where he wants me to be? And, you know, the enemy's always bringing in doubt and stuff like that. And I opened up a magazine, and on the cover, it's got a man sitting on a pile of rubble in Damascus after a bombing. And there's just piles of rubble everywhere, faces of buildings missing, just rebar hanging out of walls and out of the ground, and electrical wiring hanging out of the walls, and, you know, plumbing pipes hanging out of walls, and just, you know, buildings gone and balconies gone and windows gone. And, you know, he's sitting there, and and he's just kind of staring at the ground, just sitting on a pile of rubble, and have no idea who he is or, you know, what he's thinking, but there's just this emptiness in him. And, you know, he's got a pair of sandals on, and just, you know, this is one ankle is kind of bandaged up, but it's filthy dirty. His clothes are filthy dirty. His arms are filthy dirty. You know, like he's been digging through the rubble and that, you know, and there's, you know, you see, you know, some furniture laying around and carpets and, you know, it's just a total bombed out city. And he's just sitting there, just kind of staring off at the ground. And it just really brought me to a place of humility, you know, thinking, you know, just, you know, we think our situation is, whatever's going on, we get focused in on, and, you know, we think it's, you know, not a good situation, or we've got issues or trials or persecutions or whatever it is. And then, you know, I see a picture like this where, I mean, you know, his home is gone. Who knows if he lost anyone, but there's just rubble everywhere. You know that, you know, there was a lot of death in this. And, you know, you just think, you know, what am I thinking? And it just kind of brings you to a place of, you know, just really what's important. And it was just brought me to a place of humility. So I thought it was kind of interesting. We're sharing this tonight. So I just, you know, I've been kind of in that place. So wanted to share that. Amen.
Amen. I think I saw the same picture. Yep, he had a bleak outlook, didn't he? Praise God. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful time tonight in fellowship. Father, we just thank you for teaching us humility. That is so important in our walk, Father, to die unto self and die unto this world. And Lord, thank you for etching it in our hearts to walk that out in you, Lord. And I just ask, Father, that you just help us all to walk out this humility that you want us to walk, Lord. And I thank you for that. Bless us tonight with a good night's sleep, and bless us tomorrow with a good sunshiny day. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you so much for allowing your son to come down here and to walk with us and teach us, and then going to the cross so that we won't have to, Lord, physically speaking. And I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, y'all. God bless you.